on Up discussion episode, Nightmare on Elm Street, the series, not just the movie.
Not the TV series, the film series.
Freddy's Nightmares. A ghoulish tale with wicked humor and stunning animation. We are Movies on Up. I am Dave, joined by Ryan.
Yes, those are our names.
Yes, I was trying to think of something, then I had nothing. The Freddy to my Krueger,
I would
I
be
guess.
Like the Nancy to your Freddy.
Yeah, that works too. Our tagline this week, a ghoulish tale with wicked humor and stunning animation. If you know what movie that is from, hit us up at Movies on Up on Twitter, moviesonup.com, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup. Let us know what movie that's from, and if you're right and we pick you, you get this nightmarish prize package.
Which might have, I don't know, something in it, maybe some skeletons.
Yeah.
I'm just giving out hints, too, if that's what we're doing.
Sure. Back in September, we actually had a Friday the 13th, so we did our five favorite Friday the 13th movies, which actually worked out kind of weird because there wasn't a lot of crossover.
I think there might have been like one.
Yeah.
Which is
out of
11
movies.
Had to be.
Yeah, out of 11 movies. This one, we are going to do a top five to an extent, but we're actually going to go all the way through them. Not counting the remake, because let's just assume that's the ninth best one. Listener Jason West actually...
Continuity Police Jason West.
Yes, he mailed us a list ranking them from worst to best. He gave us his best kill and a few thoughts on each of them. So we like getting emails, so we're going to utilize it and use the email for this episode. Because my ranking, I would switch two of them, and that's it. So my 1 through 8 would be pretty much the same. So I thought... I don't have to make a list this week. Ryan still did, though, so we'll talk about it. But overall, we try to generally mention why what's made Nightmare stick around so much. Like, it's still relevant. Yeah, the remake didn't do so great, but people still know who Freddy is, even from the original movies. And he's up there with Jason and, I'd say, Michael Myers. I think Freddy is... I think him and Jason are even the most popular, too, but it's just interesting because they're so different.
Diametrically opposed. I mean, they're not popular for the same reasons. I mean, obviously, Freddy, I think, is popular because of the very unique weapon that he has, the knife fingers. I mean, Jason has a machete. That's not exactly exotic, but I think it is the personality of the two characters. Jason really doesn't have a personality. He's kind of just a silent machine. Whereas Freddy, as it gets longer into the series, kind of develops much more.
Freddy's a character.
Yes.
He's a personality. And the uniqueness of, you know, Freddy or Jason and Michael Myers, they're, you know, real world killers with no personality, really. They're just kind of these imposing figures that are terrifying. And then you have Freddy, who's not really, minus a few missteps, not really doing anything in the real world. So you have a lot more room for creativity as far as kills. And I think this series has done a great job of that.
Yeah, especially as it goes on, there are some very
creative
kills that are out of the box. I mean, with, you know, Michael Myers, he's got a knife. You know, I mean, he can stab people only in so many places.
Yeah, and Jason has the machete, but he'll do the stuff like beat a couple girls against a tree and various stuff.
Punch a kid's head off.
Yeah, he'll get creative at times, but Freddy, those were elaborate, gory kills. So we're going to go 8-1. I'm going to start off with Westy's ranking and give his thoughts. I have a kill. I don't think you have a favorite kill for all of them.
No, I just have the ones that I like.
Yeah.
That's the top five.
Because Ryan actually doesn't really like this series, but I'm a
no,
fan.
I think that'll probably come across as I talk about this.
But number 8, I agree 100% with this. This is Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Revenge. Westy says, the whole formula was thrown out the window here and it didn't work. Don't get me wrong, this is my least favorite, but I will still happily watch it. Freddy killing in the real world is against the rules. Bad form. Also, gay overtones galore. Best kill. Not really a kill, but Jesse becoming Freddy is cool. Anytime a dude rips out of a dude, I'm in. So my favorite kill from that, at the party, the two guests that fall into the pool that's boiling. I thought that was a fun visual.
I kind of lean more Westy's way with that.
You like the Jesse coming out of...
Yeah, it was very, very Cronenberg-like. You had some body, things exploding from a body. I like that.
Do you have a guess how many total kills Freddy racks up in this one?
No, I was actually kind of looking to find total kill stats because I did that for Friday the 13th, but I like that series. This one I couldn't find easily, so I gave up. I'm going to say 10.
I put 10-ish.
It can't be 10 because he's...
The party scene I kind of lose.
Freddy's a puss.
No, I put 10 because the party, most of them come at the party scene. As far as like racked up named characters getting killed, it's only about 3 or 4, which is what they average for the movie.
Right.
But this one's a whopping 10.
All right.
Most of them coming from the party. Number 7, this one a lot of people would put near the end of the list, but I think Freddy's Revenge.
This is pretty near the end of the list.
Yeah. Freddy's Revenge deserves to be below it. It is Freddy's Dead. Wesley says, I love hate this one. It's bad. I can't say it isn't. I was so stoked for it to come out. It was insane. The daughter angle is cool, but isn't played out well. Doc should have been played by Rock. Why the fuck did Tracy survive? She serves no purpose. Best kill? I'm going to say John Doe. It's corny from start to finish, but it basically becomes a Looney Tune, so they really went for it.
Yeah, there were a couple, especially later on in the series, some kills that... They really went for it. I'm thinking specifically, I think, the Dream Child, or which is the one with Breckenmeyer. We may get there.
Dream Child, I believe.
Yeah, because that one was bad.
For my honorable mention, Carlos with the hearing aid.
Yeah.
The hearing aid
becomes
turned
like
way
a bug
up
or something.
In the claws on the chalkboard.
His head blows up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Solid.
Yeah, and everybody hates the claws on the chalkboard, the fingernails.
That's
on the
true.
Chalkboard. So,
That one kind of writes itself.
Yeah, for a deaf kid. Number 6, Dream Child. It's another one. This is...
The aforementioned Dream Child.
Yeah. Westy says, it plays kind of like a watered-down version of 4 overall, but it's got some good stuff. The kid is creepy. Alice is back, which rules. Even the makeup starts looking more cartoony in this one. Best kill, Greta. The whole scene got butchered by the MPAA. The uncut version is campy but ruthless. The edited is just a little gross. That's the one where she's basically fed her own intestines.
It's like 7, kind of. It's kind of gross like that.
Except more graphic and you actually see it. Honorable mention kill. I like Mark, the artist that gets turned into paper and then
crumpled up.
Yeah.
Or something.
So now we're into our top 5. Those are bottom 3 according to me and listener Jason West. You want me to keep going with our number 5 and see how it compares, or you want to go with yours?
Yeah, why don't you guys just do your number 5?
Our number 5, Freddy vs. Jason. Overall, it came out better than it should have. At the time, it seemed perfect. In hindsight, there's a lot of things I'd like better, but I still love this. The stoner kid and some super hokey dialogue drag it down a bit, but it's fun. Best kill? Mark. Freddy doesn't rack up too many in this one, and the bathroom kill is really the only one that feels like a classic Freddy kill.
Anything you want to add to that, or was that
Dream Child was Total Kills 4.
Okay.
I forgot that. We talked a lot about this one on the Friday the 13th episode. I like it better than most of the
Friday
the 13th movies. It was higher on my list. I think it was 2 or 3 on there. 5 seems about right because it did take the wackiness that Freddy had reached but toned it down a little bit with Jason's seriousness. Did you have this in your top 5?
I did. It was actually like my number 4, but I'll make it my number 5. It's fine. It makes no difference. I don't care one way or the other. I didn't find kills, but I did do some budget stuff because I know how much you like that. The budget for this movie, $25 million, grossed 82. So pretty big success, I would say. This was kind of a long gestating project. They had been working on it since the studios kind of both came together for Jason Goes to Hell, and there was a tease at the end of that. I do like that the fact that Freddy was set up as the kids had just forgotten about him from Elm Street. So he was
trying to get stronger by
their
fear.
He was powerless. Yeah. And I like that, you know, he kind of used Jason to make it seem like he was killing people again. That's kind of where things devolve a little bit. And I do like the fight scene between Freddy and Jason. You have to wait pretty much the whole movie to get there, and you know it's coming. But it does, by the time you get there, it lives up. My favorite death. I had kind of thought about the stoner kid, but then I really like Gib attending the party in the cornfield. Lots of folks die at the rave, countless numbers. But I don't think any more memorably than the alcoholic friend, Gib. Ends up being a pretty bad night for her. She gets wasted, passes out, gets date raped, and then scared shitless by Freddy in the dream world before she finally gets impaled by Jason. And it happens as Freddy's getting ready to kill her in the dream world. So then it sets up him being pissed at Jason for killing people that he wants to kill.
How many kills for Freddy?
For Freddy? One.
One. He kills Mark. That's it. And that is his only kill. For Jason, 18.
I was going to say that he
a lot of them came at
the
party. Yeah. So 18 kills. So 19 total. Only one from Freddy. Number four, we go on to New Nightmare. Totally different. Westy says, totally different. No humor whatsoever to be found in this one. I think Freddy has like 10 lines in the whole thing. The new glove bothers me to this day, but the new direction holds up. Best kill, Julie. The babysitter getting dragged up the walls is a great intentional nod to Tina's death in part one and works great. I would probably flip-flap this with the upcoming number three. That's the only place I disagree with Westy, is I would put this one third because I love New Nightmare. I thought what Wes Craven did was reinvent his own franchise. It was still a Freddy movie, but it was a completely different Freddy movie. It was a lot of fun, but not in the way that the ones were leading up to it, because they just kept getting wacky and wackier. This one kind of tones that down a little bit and takes place in the real world, but actually makes it work. And it was very meta, and I thought it was ambitious, and I liked it. And I would have liked to see this way kind of become, you know, at least a sequel or a trilogy or something, but nothing.
I like this one a lot. It's higher on my list. I'm not willing to drop it down, so I'll talk a bit more about it later. But I guess for me, my number four, and this may kind of lead you into your number three, it is number three, The Dream Warriors. I guess Freddy, if he's going to be able to manipulate things in the dreams of his victims, it was only a matter of time before you really got the concept of lucid dreams. And this is kind of where the wise-ass Freddy shows up with the one-liners as he's killing people, almost like a bad Schwarzenegger movie. It gets worse, way worse, as we go on. But I feel like this is sort of the genesis of it. What I will say about this movie is it did give Freddy more of a backstory, and I liked that part of it, and it set up him being the absolute focus of the movies from here on out. And his victims did become kind of just fillers from there on out. They became kind of the kids in the Friday movies where you just want to see how Freddy or how Jason kills somebody because you don't really care about them as people. You're into it because of the character of Freddy. My favorite death in this one is actually one of my favorites from the entire series. It's Philip becoming a real boy. Kind of tough to watch. Freddy rips out his tendons or something and makes a real-life marionette out of him. It's gruesome, it's creative, and it's not really that funny. They didn't try to be funny. They went to kind of scare the piss out of you, and they did it with this one. As they got more wacky towards the end of the series, then more of the deaths did become kind of funny as opposed to just real straight-up scares. Just for what it's worth, the budget numbers on this one, it had a budget of about $4.5 million, grossed almost 45, so again, highly profitable, and I think you're going to see that most of these are, because they kept spawning sequels. They generally don't give sequels to movies that are not profitable, but at the very least, number three, the formula's still working.
We'll get to Dream Warriors later, because that's a little higher up Westy and I's list. Number three, we have Dream Master. Westy says, kept the tone of part three, but kind of wrenched up the humor a bit. This may have been the tipping point overall. Best kill, Joey. The waterbed kill was original and cool, but also a slight nod back to the Glenn kill from part one. Plus, boobs.
Boobs, but creepy boobs, because boobs turns into Freddy.
Yeah. My honorable mention kill was Debbie. She's the one that got turned into a cockroach and crushed. But the waterbed kill was awesome, because that's the Johnny Depp death from the first one is one of the most memorable, iconic ones of the series.
Yeah.
And this was kind of, you know, a nod to it. I don't think it was as good of a nod because it's only three three movies later, whereas the one in New Nightmare...
It was like almost way on the other side.
Yeah, yeah. It was in the eighth movie, nodding back to the first. So it was hard to follow up three, because we'll get to three again. Like, you just touched on it, but that is the tipping point. Like, Westy nailed it. That's where two kind of got panned because it was so different, and then they went back to the formula with three and upped it a little bit. But that's when Freddy, they added the humor, but they toned it down. Like, when it was time to kill, he killed. Whereas in this one, they just didn't hold back at all, and it was just goofy, funny. He was a big jokester now. So that's kind of where it turned to what you don't like about the series, where it was just...
Correct.
He became a caricature, so...
Let's see, that was your three, so we're on to my number three now, right?
I think so.
It's hard when we do like a franchise, because we start talking about sequels and then those numbers throw me off as to where we are.
That's why I'm not mentioning any of the numbers, because yeah, I'll just get confused.
It could be very easily fixed by just numbering them on my Word document here, but I didn't do that. You know, maybe next time. My wherever we are is actually Freddy's Revenge, Nightmare 2, budgeted for $2 million, grossed $30. I think it's really more of a possession movie because, you know, Freddy's not really trying to kill people in their dreams. He's trying to possess Jesse, whose family has moved into the house that Nancy lived in the first movie. I agree that tonally it is way off compared to just about every other entry in the series. It's off of the bad ones. It's off of the good ones, too. It is kind of on its own. But I like that. A lot of people have noted, and Westy's noted, the homosexual overtones, situations, and I don't think it's any more apparent than the gym teacher when he gets murdered in the shower. That one's pretty homoerotic, I guess, whatever. But I like it because it is an attempt to build off the success of the first movie without completely copying and pasting that formula. Rather than just saying, all right, we're going to make this a franchise, but it's going to be the same every time, which, I mean, to a large extent is what I think a lot of people criticize the Friday the 13th series for doing. They tried to switch up the formula and they succeeded in making something different. Now, maybe we can argue whether or not they switched it up too soon, or I think they did it at a good time rather than waiting for me to get tired and waiting for the franchise to become derivative. They tried to shoot some new life into it early, but maybe they fell short, I guess.
I just feel like it would have been better served later. Like, if you put this after, say, after Dream Warriors, Dream Master, Dream Child, and then have Freddy try to come into the real world, I feel like it would have worked better that way. I just felt like it was too soon, and I don't think it really worked. You know, it was just too different than our number two. Jason and I, our number two, part one. Westy says, as soon as I saw three, I sought this out. It's dark. It's creepy. The practical effects, with maybe the exception of Long Arms Freddy, are still awesome. Best kill, Glenn. The blood pouring out of the bed is still a great image. My honorable mention kill, Tina, dragged up the wall and dropped. Also a very cool visual. I think those two are probably my favorite kills from the whole series, because they kind of show off Freddy's powers. Like, the Tina going up the wall and, like, on the ceiling, that's a cool thing, and it's terrifying to see. And they were just killing them as characters. It wasn't like later where each character got a character trait, whether it be deaf, drug addict, have asthma.
Like video games.
Yeah, asthma, video games. Like, and you know that's going to be how they die. Like, this one was just, they were brutal, they were gory. They were not like we'd seen before. They're not just getting a machete to the head or anything like that. We hadn't seen kills like this or a slasher like this.
I agree with you. I like those both very much, and I will probably talk about them a little bit higher on my list. That's how much I like them. It's not my number two, so that should tip you off as to where the original Nightmare might fall on my list. My number two is a movie that you guys already touched on before. It was Wes Craven's New Nightmare, budgeted for $14 million, grossed $18 million. It's a case, you know, where you guys mentioned life kind of imitating art, where Freddy jumps, makes a jump from a character in a movie to a actual killer as he attacks the actors that were involved in making the original film. I thought it was a really interesting way to reinvent the franchise. Maybe Freddy trying to kill people in the real world didn't work well in Freddy's Revenge. And I guess I can't argue too terribly, because I like the way it was done in this much better, and that's why it's higher on my list. And I obviously, Craven really liked the idea, because he did it 6 years later when he made Scream 3, which in that movie I don't think it's nearly as well done as it is in this. I like the idea that when you watch a Nightmare on Elm Street movie, yeah, I guess you could have bad dreams, but that's where Freddy lives, so that's like probably the worst thing in the world, you know, to have happen. But, you know, in the end, it's only a dream. But in this movie, that's exactly the point, as it's only a dream. The actors know that until they start getting killed by Freddy. And my favorite death in this one, obviously, Julie donates blood at the local hospital in homage, you know, to the death earlier in the series. Very reminiscent and very unfortunate, because Julie, I think, was a very likable character. In some of the other films, maybe you didn't care as much about the characters, especially the later ones. They weren't taken very seriously, and you just didn't care. But Julie seemed like a nice person. And Nancy's, or Heather's kid, had to watch. That was kind of unfortunate.
Yeah. I love this one. I mean, I already touched on it with me and Westy's thoughts, but it was so good. And I would kill for a trilogy of this. Like, I love the idea. I wish it wouldn't have been abandoned. Like, they just moved on from it.
Would he have to, like, kill the real Dream Warriors? Would he go after, was Fishburne in that one?
Yes.
Yeah, would he be trying to hunt down Lawrence Fishburne?
I think it was so creative, and Wes Craven he's got a good mind on him. I think he could have done something with this and made it cool. It does work well on as a standalone, and it almost doesn't work as a sequel. Like, it's almost like you have, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street through Freddy's Dead, and then here's New Nightmare as its own entity.
And I like that.
And I love that about it, because it came at a time where we hadn't had Freddy's Dead for a while. So it was, I really, really liked it. But we're number one, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you have one? Do you have another one on your list other than this one?
I couldn't remember where we were. we were touched on it. Dream Warriors. Westy and I's favorite, both of us. Westy says, was the first one I saw and easily my favorite to this day. Best mix of horror and humor. Philip, the human marionette, is a great visual, but I can't pick anything but Jennifer in the TV is the best kill. I kind of disagree there, because I think the Philip kill was,
yeah.
Even though he mentions it, the TV thing was cool, but Philip, that was, again, you touched on it, creepy. It wasn't trying to be funny. He turns him into a marionette. Like,
the thing that I remember the most about the TV kill is the one-liner. Welcome to primetime, bitch. I don't remember the one-liner from when Philip gets killed. I just remember going,
being terrified.
Oh my God, that would hurt so bad.
Yeah, I love this one because I love the idea of this one. I love the idea of these people are going to fight in their dream. And it's like a dream team, to pardon the pun, of people that are just going to fight him. And this one,
but they really didn't fight him all that well.
No, they didn't. They didn't.
They were pretty ineffective as a dream team.
Yes.
They were like the like, dream team with Allen Iverson and Stefan Marbury.
Yes, yes.
That'll work well on a movie podcast.
Yeah. It was just fun. Like, I love this one. And to this day, it is my favorite one. And I just love the idea of it. I love the cast. I love everything about it. And Westy nailed it. It's the perfect mix. It's not, you know, it has the creepiness and the darkness and the scariness of the first one, but it has that extra little bit of humor in it, and it's where Freddy starts to mold into, again, what became a caricature. But I feel like if they would have been able to maintain the balance that he had here in 3, that 4 through 7 would have been completely different movies if they wouldn't have been as lazy and done it. Again, which is where something like Freddy's Revenge would have been a nice breakup in between those, but I enjoy it a lot. And it's not just my favorite Nightmare on Elm Street movie. It's one of my favorite horror movies, just because it is so cool. And I do enjoy the franchise. I know you don't have the space for it in your heart like I do, but I really do love the franchise, and this is by far my favorite one. So it's hard for me not to really, really care about this movie.
I think you guys are right. With the balance, I think that's why I don't like the franchise, is because the character did just become different from his actions, and they kind of did in a couple different places just completely take a dump on the canon or whatever, if you want to really kind of guard that. But I do think that this was the perfect balance between the horror and the dark tone. But I preferred that dark tone, which is why I liked The New Nightmare better, and I liked Freddy's Revenge better, because that one still was a darker tone. All of my top three, I feel like they're all very different for whatever reason, whether it's Freddy's Revenge, him trying to kill in the real world by possessing some other guy, New Nightmare obviously killing the real actors, or the original is my favorite. Budgeted for $1.8 million, made $25.5 million. It's the original, and it's a classic for a reason. It was a great concept, which was executed wonderfully by one of the best horror directors that we have going in Wes Craven. My top two, I don't think it's really a coincidence that they're both ones that Craven himself directed. And many of the things that piss me off about the sequels, you know, whether it's the canon issues or the wise-ass Freddy, not a problem in this one. The deaths are straight up terrifying. They're not campy at all. Maybe there's a balance, a line that you can walk. And if you want to walk that line, you can be very careful and it can be done well. They didn't bother with the line in this one. They were all just really, really terrifying. And for me, my favorite one is Tina, which shouldn't surprise you because my favorite death in The New Nightmare was the nod to Tina's death. And I think that her getting lifted off the bed and you know, her boyfriend watches her get mauled by something he can't see. You know, you can see Michael Myers and you know, again, you know, to stay away. You can see Jason. But when, you know, you're just getting ripped up and hoisted in the air and you don't know what to do, you know, that's pretty terrifying because, you know, you don't know if it's coming after you next or what. But I mean, to me, that is absolutely the one because you see it. Johnny Depp's, I mean, you see him kind of fall into the bed and then you see the blood come out of it, but you don't really know what happened to him. I mean, he's got more blood than the entire football team. I liked it. I thought it was very visual, very surreal, but this one seemed very real because you could see everything that happened to Tina and it was very dark, and I think it fit the tone of the movie perfect. It was a slasher, but it was so different than any of the other slashers at that time. I think it's the best, and I mean, I don't think anybody's going to argue with me and say that it sucked. I mean, it, obviously, you know, it was high enough on your guys' list. I think I just prefer my Freddy like I prefer my Jason, just like a straight-up hard ass that's just going to kill you and not bother about making any jokes.
Freddy in one was completely different than by the time we get to Freddy's Dead, but I'm interested in just watch them in this order from now on. Watch the first one, Dream Warriors, Dream Master, Dream Child, then throw in Freddy's Revenge. See how it works that way. See if you like Freddy's Revenge better that way.
Well, I don't know. For me, it's going to be tough because I like Freddy's Revenge quite a bit. And I think that by the time if I were to watch those, you know, over the course of a couple months or whatever, I would be so tired of that Freddy that I don't like, that I would absolutely love Freddy's Revenge even more.
That's what I mean.
Right. But I mean, I think if you were somebody that hadn't seen any of them, you might be right. Maybe you would appreciate Freddy's Revenge more because it would be sort of that breath of fresh air from, you know, this particular kind of crap to maybe what, you know, you guys might argue is a completely different kind of crap. But I like my Freddy to be, you know, pretty vicious. And he was vicious in the early ones, and I guess he was later. But by the time he's referencing the power glove, I've got no use for that.
Dream Warriors, there was 6 kills. Part 1, only 4. I mean, 2 of
them. But you remember
exactly
them so much.
I was going to say, we've talked about 2 of them. Dream Master, 6. New Nightmare, only 4. But again, we like that one a lot. Freddy vs. Jason, he only had 1, but Jason had 18. Dream Child, 4. Freddy's Dead, 3. 4 if you count Freddy, so only 3 by Freddy. And then Freddy's Revenge was about 10-ish. So he only killed like 3 to 6 people in all of them except Freddy's Revenge. So a little different than, I know Jason's body counts would be a little bit higher than that.
And they had to be, because Jason didn't have,
he didn't have anything,
a personality.
Else.
Yeah. That was his personality, is, you know, how the people were killed. That's why you watched, you know, Friday 6, 7, 8. You watched these movies, and, you know, we mentioned it at the top, because of Freddy. I think they realized early, you know, that he was a character that they were going to be able to build a franchise around. And I think they did, you know, a good job through the first three in building that franchise. I mean, I think the first three work together pretty well. They're all three very different. They all three make my top five list. I like them all. But then I think they maybe just honed in too much on the, oh, you like that? We're going to give you more. And they kept turning it up every time. And yeah, at some point, it just, there's a tipping point.
I mean, it feels...
The tipping point was after three.
Yeah, and I mean, it's, I guess it's hard, because think of any movie series that's gone past like three or four movies that stayed consistent. Because even look at Lethal Weapon 1 compared to Lethal Weapon 4. Completely different movies. Die Hard 1
yeah.
compared to Die Hard in Russia or whatever it was called. Like, completely different movies, because by Lethal Weapon 4, by Die Hard with Jai Courtney, they've become such caricatures of themselves. They've taken what people liked about them and just magnified it. And it happens on sitcoms all the time. Compare seasons 1 through 5 of The Office to seasons 6 through 9. The characters start to become caricatures, because you focus so much on what people like the most, and then you give too much of that. And that's kind of what happened with Freddy. Instead of having that balance, they just like, oh, they like the one-liners in three, so let's just throw more of them in there and not consider it like, oh, they like the balance. And it just happens, and it's a bummer.
You know who didn't change? Rambo. Rambo never changed. That was the same character throughout the entire film arc of the Rambo series. But like, he just killed more and more and more and more every time. That's what people liked. They ratcheted up. And that's, I think they did kind of a similar thing with the Friday series. Like, Jason,
they got wackier though too.
Oh yeah, the kills got wackier, but they didn't really change the character. Like, he never started talking.
Yeah, no, that's true. I don't know. I think Nightmare holds a spot. I think 10 years from now, it'll still be relevant.
Oh, sure.
I think Freddy is emblazoned in pop culture forever.
I mean, it's been 30 years. If he's still relevant now, yeah. 30 years from now, I probably still will be.
Yeah, so I don't know, and I think for good reason. I think he is a great character, even if he got misused a little bit later. But that was our Friday the 13th. Or our Nightmare on Elm Street
episode.
Sort of.
I referenced Friday a lot because I like that better. Yeah.
That was our Nightmare on Elm Street episode. We covered all of them. Usually we say if we missed one, let us know, but we didn't.
We didn't. So
unless
it's
you really love the remake, in which case, we don't want to hear from you.
But there were good things about the remake. And maybe it's just because I don't like this series as much. Maybe I was a little easier on the remake than maybe you or Westy would have been. But I like the way they treated Freddy's backstory in that one, where maybe he was a kid toucher, maybe he wasn't.
See, I don't like that. I want to fear the guy.
I think you could still fear him, but you know, there was that aspect of maybe he's just a real bastard and he deserved to die, and I hope he burns in hell. Or, oh, geez, I could see where he would want to go back and kill all these people's kids, because he didn't do anything wrong. They just kind of, he was the patsy. I liked that. But maybe, I don't know, I don't think I'm stretching. I liked that. I'm gonna put my name on it and stand behind that. That was really the only part about that.
Once they announced it, I said, like, once they announced the remake, I said, I guarantee there's going to be an angle that maybe Freddy didn't do that to those kids. And I just don't like that. Like, Freddy is evil. Freddy is this embodiment of evil. I want him to be that.
You can think that. You can think that he did touch those kids. And that's fine. There's enough in there to make you think that he did. But they also, you know, leave it open to where, okay, if you want to root for Freddy, because it's kind of hard to root for a child molester, but if you want to root for him, maybe he didn't touch those kids. And his revenge is completely justified. I like that. But, you know, the rest of the movie I don't particularly care for.
Yeah. So that was Nightmare on Elm Street. If you have anything to add, if we missed a kill of yours, because I know we, We touched on quite a few, but if there's just a certain kill.
If you like the Breckenmeyer kill,
yeah.
Which I feel like I've talked about this entire episode because I hate it.
Yeah, but hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, Twitter @moviesonup, facebook.com/moviesonup, or moviesonup.com. Did I say that one yet?
If not, might as well hit it up twice.
This been
we pay for that website.
Our Halloween month. We're coming to the end. 10 episodes in October, which has been a lot of fun. Before we go, we've been trying to give 2 horror movies
ish.
An episode. We probably gave like 60 movies this month, but 2 movies a piece. So Ryan, if they don't want to marathon watch the entire Nightmare on Elm Street series, what do you suggest they watch?
I've got 2, both from this year. I thought that I'm on record saying that they're both going to be terrible, and I'm batting about 50%, but in one particular case, I am willing to admit my mistake, and it is not with The Purge. Watched that. It's out on DVD now. Actually, both of these are out on DVD now, which is kind of why I think you should go watch them now. The Purge is pretty predictable, especially... You know, if you've seen any of the commercials, you kind of knew what was going to happen. It's maybe not a tremendous horror movie, absolutely more of a home invasion movie. And it's kind of preachy in terms of like class warfare. It's very much class warfare. It's just go kill the poor people so that they can't be a drag on our society. And it doesn't even feel as good of a home invasion movie as something like Funny Games or even like Panic Room. Some of the fight scenes in it, Ethan Hawke actually has a pretty decent fight scene that I kind of liked. And the main like maskless guy that's trying to get into the house, I thought was kind of charismatic and I liked him. But that was about it. Everything else, the movie really telegraphed and you could see what was going to happen 45 minutes before it happened. So I didn't really care for The Purge. But Maniac came out on DVD last week, which I saw and really liked. I thought I was going to hate it.
You were anti this remake.
Yes.
From the very beginning.
From the very beginning. But what I didn't know about the remake is that they were going to follow my rule for remakes. If you're going to do it in your own style and add something. And they added a lot for Frodo's character. And I thought that made it completely worth it. The special effects by Greg Nicotero were awesome. But what stands out to me most is the character of the maniac. And they really get into his head why he's killing people. And I love that. And just for that reason alone, even if the gore wasn't as good as it is, I thought that was really, really a good flick.
I wasn't committing one way or the other on this because I like Elijah Wood in this kind of role. And I thought he'd be able to pull it off.
And he did.
And I didn't know what they were going to do. But I'm also, for my first one, I'm going to stick with 2013. Another one that just came out on DVD, the surprise hit of the summer, The Conjuring. James Wan's movie. Not as good as I wanted it to be. I feel like James Wan has a great horror movie in him. Whether we'll get it now that he's we'll get it now that he's moved on to Fast and Furious or not, I don't know. But he has 2 $30 million openings this year between Insidious 2 and The Conjuring. And there's a long list of fantastic directors that don't even have 2 for a career. So James Wan has something about him. He is a very talented filmmaker. Say what you will about his movies. He does kind of sometimes get a negative connotation, but he does have a gift behind the lens. And The Conjuring is... It's worth a watch. I'm not going to tout it as a great movie, but it's good.
It's not as good as that first clap clap trailer leads you to believe it's going to be.
But it's good. Like, it's good enough to watch. The other one I'm going to go years ago to 2005, starring Freddy himself, Robert Englund, 2001 Maniacs. I don't really like this movie, but if you want a good, like, just wacky Halloween movie to watch with creative kills and just stupid, watch 2001 Maniacs because that's what it's filled
with. It's like a, towards the end of the series, nightmare movie.
Ramped up a little bit,
right.
Yeah. So those are our watch this is for this episode. You can find more me at Dave Bacella on Twitter. I have another show, Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave. You can find that at ericanddave.com, Eric with a K. This week we just put up our second annual Halloween extravaganza. This is our Halloween episode. We actually read the plot of Scream 3. So I kind of chuckled when you brought that up.
Synergy.
Yeah. So it's just a goofy Halloween episode. That's ericanddave.com, Eric and Dave on Twitter, or facebook.com/ericanddave. That's Eric with a K.
If you want more of me, come back to Movies On Up later on this week, where we're going to give our top five foreign horror movies. And I say top five because...
Top five-ish? They're a typical Movies On Up list.
Five foreign horror movies that are okay to good.
Yes.
Because we
haven't talked about them yet. A ton. That'll be later this week, probably tomorrow maybe. But until
then...
Until then...
Keep it up.